This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, boo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer. It is Thursday morning. I feel like spirits are high. I'm riding the wave from my conversation with Miss Quad Web yesterday. If you didn't listen to that episode that came out yesterday, even if you are not fully caught up on Married to Medicine or don't know all the drama that has happened this season, I genuinely, and I wouldn't just say this, I felt like with her, I had one of the most kind of real candid conversations I've had in a while with a Bravo celebrity. She had no shortness of things to say about the network, about her fellow cast members, about production, and she really mentioned it all. She lived up to the manifest of this podcast, and I hope to do the same in her stead. But yeah, if you haven't listened to that, go check it out. But today we have stuff to talk about. We are going to get into Vanderpump Rules just a little bit because I didn't get a chance to talk about this week's episode yet. We have Beverly Hills, though, part three of this reunion, ending the season on, is it a high note? I don't know. We'll discuss further. But not just part three of the reunion of Beverly Hills, but another Beverly Hills adjacent moment. And you know I hate to talk about this, but again, Mauricio's Netflix show has crossed my desk. Buying Beverly Hills is such a scourge to me right now. Like, every time these clips come up, I'm like, I don't want to have to care. Every week, I'm being inundated with buying Beverly Hills. The Valley's going to be good. Buying Beverly Hills is going to be juicy. Like, I don't have time. I don't want to. It's not even about the time. It's about, I don't want to watch Buying Beverly Hills. But we got a second clip. If you recall a few weeks ago, there was a clip that came out, I think it was right around the Beverly Hills finale. There was a clip that came out from this upcoming season of Buying Beverly Hills that was Mauricio talking to the daughters about the separation. And it was like a little more detailed, a little more emotional than anything we got on this season of Housewives, which of course was annoying. Well, this week we get another preview clip, and it's Mauricio talking about the fabled situation that happened when Mauricio left Hilton and Highland, aka his brother-in-law, stepbrother, but that's not right. Relations are hard. Kathy's husband, Rick's company, when he left Hilton and Highland and started the agency. And this, of course, is infamous because this was why Kathy and Kyle weren't speaking for years. Prior to Kathy appearing on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, this was kind of the crux of the situation of why they were never on good terms in the early years of Beverly Hills. So on this clip from Buying Beverly Hills, Mauricio was talking about this with, like, I don't know, some dudes, like, I don't know who the cast of characters are on this show, because to be honest, I could not care less. But he says that he got fucked by Hilton and Highland. And he says that the year that he left, it was the first time that they had done $1 billion a year. Is this real estate? I guess I don't fucking know. I talked to Kelly Bensimone and she's like, yeah, you know, I'm doing 150 million in sales. And I'm like, okay, but for who? How does that? The math is crazy. But he says they did $1 billion for the first time, and that he brought in, or was, you know, responsible for bringing in 19.6% of that. So if $1 billion, 19.6, that's like $200 million of sales. Look at that. Okay. See, I can't do math. I can. That's like it's like tipping at a restaurant. 19.6. That's like the number to shoot for. Even 20. But so he asked Rick if he could have equity in the company, because he's like, you did $1 billion. I brought in 20% of that. If you're going to, like, you know, get richer and richer, I feel like I would also like to get, you know, some degree of richer and richer. You know, we're building generational wealth here. We're building something to pass down to our Nepo daughters. It's all good. But Rick went back and talked to his partner and he said no. And so that is, according to Mauricio, why he left, why he started the agency, because they fucked him. His word, not mine. So that's the clip. I'm like, okay, I'm interested. I don't know if I'm interested enough to watch this whole goddamn show, but I'm interested to watch a 2-minute clip on Twitter. The bar is low. But then it got even more interesting because who saw this clip and had some thoughts? Paris fucking Hilton, aka Rick's daughter, if you're really struggling with this family tree, as I sort of am. But so Paris in Instagram comments, I think she maybe deleted it, but I think it was on Queens of Bravo. I saw screenshots. I tried to find the original one. I couldn't. But here's what she said. Quote, "My father is a consummate gentleman and has always taken the higher road. He would never speak negatively about his family, especially in the press. Frankly, we are all sick of him." That's Mauricio. "We are all sick of him using the Hilton name every chance he gets to plug his lame show. It is enough already." Paris Hilton, the woman that you are. Like, that's... We've waited years. We've waited years for Paris and Kathy and everyone to really wade into the trenches on this issue. And for Paris to be out here, I mean, Paris is like Team Kyle at this point. They're besties again. You know, mommy and auntie are getting along. And it has been really sort of, I don't want to say refreshing because that makes me sound like an asshole, but like, it's been kind of fun to see Mauricio be like a little bit exiled from Hilton Island more than he was, you know, because of this whole situation. To plug his lame show. Like, damn, Paris, y'all want to see a dead body? The thing with this Mauricio thing is, like, I guess that there is going to be interesting stuff on the season of this show, but I don't know if I care enough about, you know, two more interesting tidbits that somebody's going to summarize on Reddit in 10 minutes to watch an entire season of Farrah doing house showings. Like, I already stopped watching Selling Sunset because I decided I didn't care that much. So I'm not going to start watching another show that's just that, but with less ridiculous outfits and more of Kyle's daughters. No disrespect to Kyle's daughters, but they're not the reason I watch anything. I don't know. But this did directly tie in to part three of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion, which I was not necessarily expecting, because this is something that over the years, Kyle and, you know, Kathy, the shorter time that she's been on the show, we've never really gotten a lot of details, a lot of information. And so when Kathy comes out on the reunion, you know, I'm thinking we're going to get a little bit of like a hunky-dory update on how things are going with her and Kyle. I'm thinking we're going to get, you know, a little bit of a circle back on last season's issues. I'm thinking she's going to be around for the Mauricio and Morgan conversations, which she was. But I'm not thinking that we're going to get into the weeds of Hilton and Highland. And so it does come up, though. And Kathy says that back when this happened, the real issue, according to her, is that when Mauricio left, basically, they gave him their blessing to start his own the agency on the condition that he would not poach any of their agents from Hilton Highland. And according to Kathy, he did. A few of them, she says. I feel like we've all had that moment where you're at somebody's wedding and you're looking around the food, the venue, the music, the overall vibe, and you're making like that mental checklist of, if I were planning a wedding right now, maybe you are, maybe you aren't, what would I want to copy from this? What would I want to change? What would I want to tweak? Well, I've been a part of my fair share of weddings over the years, and I know just how stressful the process can be. You go from that newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. But using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish and makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and even maybe enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want. With tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences, every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I Do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling superpower short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. The superpower short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Kyle is really just like not here for this. She doesn't want to talk about it, which, like, you know, shock of the century. Kyle doesn't want to talk about the thing that is the most interesting. Like, that, I think, it speaks to my larger issue with Kyle, especially in the tail end of this season, that there's a laundry list of topics that I would like Kyle's full and unfiltered opinions on. And we're getting very few of those full and unfiltered opinions, perhaps none. And so I'm like, okay, like if you don't want to get into everything with Mauricio, then get into something with this. Like, give us something. And I did think it was a shame. Sutton, just a few minutes into this part of the reunion, has her sort of nebulous health issue where she like falls back on the couch and then isn't steady on her feet, and her blood pressure is high, and she's walked off the stage. And, you know, Anna Marie for the second time this season is like trying to get in there and play like Dr. Barbie and is kind of like a little bit shooed away by production, you know, no shade to her. LOL. But Sutton and Garcelle then don't return to the reunion at all, because they decide to take Sutton to the hospital. Garcelle's going to accompany her. I understand. It's unforeseen circumstances. I get that Sutton probably wanted somebody to go with her. I get that Garcelle is good friends with her, but I'm just like, we really needed you out there. You were our strongest soldiers. And you left us. It's like going into battle when the opposing army took a sick day. It's like, well, I guess we're just going to storm this beach and just kind of plant the flag. I guess we're just going to talk amongst ourselves for the next hour. And it's not that there's nothing interesting. It's not that there's like... I wanted to get into the nitty gritty a little bit more. And I mean, Kathy says she was just about to go after Sutton when she left the stage. So we missed out on that. We missed out on, I think, Garcelle and Sutton. I mean, they weren't really chasing after Kyle about the marriage stuff all season long, but certainly they were the ones to ask the most questions about it. And I would have liked to see that really unpacked at the reunion. I think there maybe would have been a little bit more of holding Kyle's feet to the fire about her issues with Mauricio, about her decisions of what to tell people and when. I thought it was really interesting that Kyle, when Andy asked about the moment where she didn't want Mauricio to kiss her on camera, and she was like, well, you know, like, we hadn't told the girls yet and it was tough. So then, like, when we started filming, I was like, okay, now we have 6 months to figure out how to tell them. And I get that it's a tough position. Like, you know, it's to figure out like how to have these conversations and when and how to navigate it exactly. But it's like, you made the choice that led to us getting the least. So like, either way, what maybe that was the right choice for the family, but it was, I think, objectively the less interesting choice for the TV show. And if that's not what Kyle's priority is, congratulations, you're probably like a healthy, well-adjusted person, but I still want the TV show storyline. So, you know, it's a give and take. Quickly though, when Kathy comes out, we get this like flashback to everything that happened last season. And this is we've been getting these uncensored reunions on Peacock for a few months now. I think Vanderpump last year was the first time they did it. So Beverly Hills has never gotten an uncensored reunion until this season. And baby, it all was worth it because it came full circle and we got a flashback to last season of Erica saying that Kathy said, quote, the DJ is an old fucking faggot. And it's not bleeped. Wow, we've come such a long way. But anyway, the thing that I do appreciate the most is that in this Kyle and Mauricio clip package, you know, we see the 10-year long whatever of their love and XYZ. When Andy's asking about this, Kyle finally speaks about all of the cheating rumors over the years, all of the articles and the blogs and the tabloids. We talk about the tabloids that mysteriously appeared on that cast trip to Puerto Rico, I think it was, in like season 3 or 4. And Kyle finally acknowledges that all those years, all of that stuff affected her, which, like, no shit. But for such a long time, it's felt like Kyle and Mauricio Inc. was this institution that we weren't allowed to ever have any sort of nuance when we were talking about. And so to hear Kyle say, yeah, even if I didn't believe that the stories were true, the fact that it was always coming up did affect me, did erode some amount of trust, did chip away and leave these residual feelings of doubts and damage. And I thought that was a really good moment for Kyle to admit that, yeah, like when people for 10 years are trying to dig up dirt on your husband, whether or not it's true, no matter how much you say, we don't believe the rumors, we're ignoring it, there is kind of a little bit of a residual thing there. And then she does say that years ago on social media, Mauricio didn't know about DMs. So she says that back in the day, I would love to know what year we're talking about here. Like, did he not know about DMs in like 2018? Or is this like back in the early days of Instagram? But she says that she would go onto his account and just delete and block women who were DMing Mauricio without him ever seeing it or knowing about it, so that if women were trying to get with her husband, they would just never come into his field of vision. And that women would like DM him saying they wanted to work at the agency or like get to know him. It's like, LOL. Kyle's not dumb. She wasn't born yesterday. But then at a certain point, apparently Mauricio learned about DMs. And then all of a sudden, he's following random chicks on Instagram. He's chatting people up, getting to know these ladies in the DMs. And it sounds like Mauricio, well, according to Kyle, maybe he was a little bit naive. I would say that is the generous read on that. I would say maybe the more realistic sounding read is that Mauricio had fun getting to know people, or maybe imagine getting to know people that seemed, and I could see the DMs feeling like a sort of low risk way to do that, which, you know, at the end of the day, DMing somewhat flirtily with someone is not the worst thing you can do. But also, I think, I don't think Mauricio is dumb either. And so I would like to see some of those DM conversations because I think they could be illuminating. But at this point, maybe we'll see them on Buying Beverly Hills. I don't think we're getting them on Housewives. What I did not expect, what was not on my bingo card, is that on both Beverly Hills and Vanderpump Rules this week, we would have conversations about jealousy over someone else doing Dancing with the Stars. Because Mauricio, you might recall, did Dancing with the Stars this year. And Kyle seems like she was kind of upset over it. She says that she would never let him do it if they were like still in a good place. Kathy's like, well, you know, but you wouldn't like get jealous over it. And Kyle's like, oh, yes, I would. Like, has Kyle never been asked to do Dancing with the Stars or never like been in a, had a conversation about it? Lisa Vanderpump did it in like 2015. Erica's been on Dancing with the Stars. Kyle Richards is absolutely at the level of Dancing with the Stars casting. I mean, if Mauricio is doing Dancing with the Stars, Kyle should have done Dancing with the Stars. So maybe she needs to get a new agent. Maybe she needs to just, you know, cold call them a little bit more. I don't think Kyle doing Dancing with the Stars is like that lofty of a goal at this point. Like, make a couple calls, make it happen. Come on. But anyway, she didn't like seeing pictures of him holding hands with his partner, Emma, or that he did a suggestive dance that was dedicated to her. They're like, he's spending time with women in Aspen, not mentioning the fact that he was with Brazilian pop superstar Anita, who has like, I don't know, 50 million Instagram followers. Like, I don't think that helped probably. But part of the crux of this is that they're still living together. And I think that they've been separated now, using Kyle's word, for 8 months, 9 months, longer. We found out in like July that they were separated. At a certain point, you're two adults of means. Stop living together. They are not in the same situation as Ariana and Sandoval, who, by the way, also should stop living together. Even if it's a temporary situation, it's obvious that the fact that she and Mauricio are still navigating this complicated time while sharing a personal space together is not making it easier for her. And so I'm like, I don't know. Again, I haven't been in a situation like this, but it's just like, if you could afford to just, if Mauricio could afford to just go rent a two-bedroom apartment for a month-to-month situation until they figured their shit out, just go do that. Sleep somewhere else. You don't have to move all your shit. Just like have a different place to sleep. I feel like that would be my advice. The Morgan stuff, it's not super satisfying. And at this point, I don't know what more we're going to get from Kyle. I kind of wish Morgan had been at the reunion, to be honest. I think I get why they wanted Kathy there. I think in terms of the arc of the show in a multi-season sense, having Kathy there is appealing. I didn't personally feel like Kathy's addition really gave us that much at the reunion. Because the thing with Kathy is that she kind of can only speak to her own stuff. And when she's on the show, she gave us a lot to work with. Last season's whole Aspen thing revolved around her. So at the reunion, it made sense that she was kind of a main player. But Kathy wasn't on the show a single episode this season. So yeah, it's nice to get an update on Kyle and Kathy's relationship. She's spent time with Morgan, so I guess it's good to hear about that. We did get the Hilton and Highland thing, which I thought was interesting. But in terms of reuniting about what happened on this season of Housewives, she wasn't there. She was like pretty deliberately not there. Heck, I would have, Kim should have been there. Kim was on the show. Denise should have been there. Denise was on the show. Like, the fact that Kathy was at this entire section of the reunion was just like felt a little random. But the Morgan stuff, you know, Crystal says she thought they were together. And Kyle's like, yeah, right, because of the tabloids. And she's like, no, because you act like a couple. That's, I think, I'm willing to, oh God, I can't even say it. I'm willing to not speculate that much about what's going on with Kyle and Morgan, because at a certain point, two adults are living their life. If they are going to be so adamant that nothing is happening and I don't have concrete proof otherwise, it's kind of boring to be like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I think you're lying. I think you're lying. I think you're girlfriends. I mean, like, I kind of do, but it's boring. It's repetitive. We've been there. We've been over it. But I think it's really weird when Kyle has these people in her life who she is spending time around, who have met Morgan, who have seen them together, who follow them on social media, who know them in real life. And she's like, well, you just thought we were together because you saw a story in the tabloids. It was on Page Six. It was on E! News. And it's like, no, babe. Respectfully, you're giving yourself way too much credit. This is not something that like E! News has to conjure up as a conspiracy theory. All we have to do is look at a photo of you two like rubbing each other's asses at Watch What Happens Live. We have eyes. Crystal has eyes. Crystal is a smart cookie. It's not like you have had the most platonic looking relationship with this woman and Page Six is just like mad at you and trying to ruin your life. It's like, no, everybody's looking at the material and everybody is interpreting it the same way for a reason. So I don't know. I mean, Kyle says that they're not a couple. Nothing has happened, but she's my friend and I love her. And she also says, I'm evolving, I'm changing, and I don't know what my future holds right now. And we'll see. We'll see what that means a year from now. If Morgan is still in the picture, if she's in the picture in a different way, if she's like edited into the photo a la Kate Middleton, maybe we'll get like really blurry car paparazzi photos with just like the shadow of the side of her face. That's kind of my favorite current genre of photo. But I don't know. We'll see. I am so happy that warmer weather is finally back and we can get back to enjoying some time in the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring May flowers and also sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I have had seasonal allergies for pretty much my entire life. Unfortunately, there are definitely those days where I have canceled my plans because I simply just don't want to be out in the world because of my allergies. But luckily, Claritin is the perfect thing that you can just take at the beginning of the day, and it really helps with all of those symptoms, clearing up your eyes, clearing up your sinuses, clearing up your congestion. It's the easiest way to just get those allergies under control, whether it's in the spring, any other time of year, and it's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week. Grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite. Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin Orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Okay, over to Vanderpump Rules. Beverly Hills this season, it was fine. It was fine. Would I have liked more? Yes, always yes. That's the thing with Beverly Hills. It's like 7 out of 10. Would I prefer a 10? Yes, absolutely. Was I on the verge of not watching? Of course not. I mean, partially, I've got to sit in front of the mic and talk about this. But like, also, it was good. It was fine. It was fine. But Vanderpump Rules. The most troubling thing that happened on this week's episode is that we finally met Joe. Katie warned us about this woman. She said there's a darkness there. She's not to be trusted. She's creepy. I think that was the word, creepy. She warned us, you know, take with a grain of salt. You're like, okay, like maybe she's not like the coolest person ever. Maybe she's like a little weird. But Katie, obviously, you know, she's not going to like adore anyone that is sniffing around Tom Schwartz. Cause like, who would? But when we see Joe and Schwartz at this lunch date, platonic hang of two people who have had sex in the last month, I don't know how to describe this event. Joe is so deeply unsettling to me. Her energy is terrifying. Really, really scary. Really, there's a darkness there. I immediately clocked her as somebody who gives off a vibe of if Teddy Mellencamp was not a Mellencamp, if Teddy Mellencamp had grown up in a working class Southern California town, maybe like a Sheena kind of vibe, like Azusa, like Teddy from Azusa. She is so much. I saw a TikTok. Claire Parker from the Celebrity Memoir Book Club. They're great on TikTok, by the way. The podcast is great too. She pointed out that Joe is this breed of person who I see it's the stereotypical millennial that Gen Z makes fun of. That I always see this on TikTok where it's a person who has posted a video doing this character. And I think the character's funny, but all the comments are always like, who are these people? Millennials aren't like this. This is slander. We don't do that. And it's this millennial person who starts sentences with words like methinks, who calls Starbucks Starbies, who's doing like a little like, and it's like, okay, like who are these people? It's like the people who never grew out of 2014. That is Joe. Watching her and Schwartz riff about aliens and then make robot noises at each other in the middle of a bar, in the middle of the day, they're like, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. What are you doing? What is that? Ugh. Like my skin is crawling. I don't want to see more of Joe this season. And she got a confessional. That's an insult. We can't be giving out confessionals like this. That used to mean something. It used to be like housewives get confessionals. Official friends of get confessionals. Maybe a husband. Maybe a child. We're not out here giving some woman a confessional who maybe lived with Tom Schwartz and like crawled into his bed a few times. I don't know this woman. She doesn't have a cast photo. She better not be getting invited to the reunion. Good God. What are we doing here? Who is scheduling these confessional interviews? Like, did Schwartz just like bring her to his interview? And then she was like, can I hop in? Time for one more. Oh my God. I feel like she wears like a Jack Skellington t-shirt to bed. No, actually not to bed, as like a real outfit. To bed is acceptable. But the other thing this episode is that we're still on this like continued, we're on this continued divide between Katie and Ariana still being like, fuck Sandoval all the way. And Lala and Sheena being like, but maybe, what if, and I get it. I not to be like riding the fence here, but I see both sides. I think Sandoval is a shitty person. I think that he did really shitty things. But I think that Sheena and Lala are trying to make something work in this situation kind of for the good of the show. And I don't begrudge them that because as somebody who watches the show, I like for the show to be good. And I think that they rightly are realizing or have been informed by production that this show is going to have a tough time maintaining momentum if every episode is just fuck Sandoval on Sandoval Island and we're just going to have like, you know, Witches of WeHo 3.0 astrology girl time. I like those scenes mixed in with other stuff, but it can't be the whole show. As much as I love Allie pivoting to astrology because she knows there's only one Taylor Swift in the world, God bless her soul, that isn't enough. And so I think that the push and pull that Lala and Sheena are trying to grapple with, I think that's kind of what the show needs. But the flip side of that, of course, is that Ariana and by extension Katie are within their rights to be like, we don't want to be hanging out with this guy. We don't really want to have close friends who are close with this guy. And at a certain point, that's going to get awkward. I don't know exactly what the outcome is going to be. I don't know kind of how we're going to eventually move forward from this, but I just see both sides. I do think Sheena kind of went a little too far in that Dancing with the Stars conversation with Lisa. It's like, I understood last week when you had a little bit of conflicted feelings. This week, it was a little much. And you're like, she's come a long way from being my backup dancer. It's like, that's only okay when I say it. When I'm like making a joke. When you say it for real, it makes you seem like a dick. And I don't want Sheena to seem like a dick because I don't. Oh, she should. But anyway, Raquel has blocked Tom. Lisa has told him to give it up. So that's over. Where do we go from here? I don't know. We got the mid-season trailer. We've got the Valley. The Valley starts next week. Guys, I'm so scared. But I will push through. And so will you. And thank you so much for pushing through this episode. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. We'll be back next week with lots more great Bravo stuff. So make sure to follow on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. And until next time, be cool. Don't feel like uncool. Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales-Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.